These are in the back. There's a, it's a pamphlet rack. You'll see it right next to the table outside my office. You can get these at the bookstore. They're online as well. This one came, this is actually an older one. It's from Concordia Tract Services. I don't even think they're around anymore. It's an old tract service, but it's a goodie. It's got topical things in it for different issues that you would face. We'll talk about faith today. Old Testament reading is about Abraham. So we're going to talk about having faith. The reason why Abraham is important to us is because he's an example of saving faith. Let's pray. Lord God, you have saved us. You have called us to follow Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, bless us as people of faith. Draw us close to you. Lord, we hear your word. We pray that your word would birth in us just great devotion and confidence and assurance that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him. That's pretty old. I mean, so it is never too late. Never too late to dream, never too late to follow God. And then the point is that God puts faith, he plants it in our hearts, and then asks us to trust him. In other words, he communicates that he exists and that he is to be trusted. And God used a dream to communicate with Abram, actually changed his name later on to Abraham. And the reason why he changed his name was based on the promise, because he had given him this promise that he would be a great nation, and then Abraham lived out a number of years not seeing the promise answered, and God would come back to him and reinforce the promise and, you know, just confirm to him again and again that you will be the father of a great nation, which is what Abraham means. So it's God's work to kindle faith in the hearts of his people. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father unless the Son draws him. And Abraham is an example of someone that God communicated with, gave promises, and even impossible things. It was impossible, but God just asked him to trust. So, what I want to do is, you have an outline in front of you, or in your bulletin, rather, sorry. And if you grab that, I'm going to go through the parts of this. Because as I was thinking about this, I want to unpack faith a little bit. This really spoke to my heart. I want to share it with you. It's stuff that we need to have. I guarantee you it will change your life. It will not only draw you closer to God, but walking in faith and growing in your faith is just going to be a great blessing to the people around you. And faith is sometimes seeming to be a complicated thing. But look at the simple definition. Look at the definition that we're given. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. So if you look at that definition, you see the word faith, and then confidence, it has hope, and assurance. Those are key ideas. You notice that faith and hope are in that definition. They're two different things. Hope is not the same thing as faith. And you can have hope, but you cannot have faith. It's actually possible. And it's good to define what the difference is, because hope and faith are not the same, and faith actually is greater than hope. A lot of times we might even use those things interchangeably, but if we were to talk about hope, like let's say today looks like a beautiful day. Yesterday was a beautiful day, right? I don't know if you got a chance to be outside, but it was really, really nice. And we could all hope that tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day. As a matter of fact, we could all hold hands, and we could all agree, and we could say, tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day. We all hope that together, but it's just a hope. The reason that causes hope to become faith, and the difference is that we have no assurance that it's going to be good weather tomorrow. It's only a hope. And when you have the assurance that it's actually going to happen, it changes from hope to faith. Let me give you another illustration of how that would work. When Jill and I first went into ministry in the early 90s, we were sent over to Sierra Leone. And when we got to Sierra Leone, there was a civil war that broke out. And everybody hoped that it would calm down. Everybody hoped that there would be peace. But it got worse and worse and worse. And, you know, we had that hope, but for us to actually have faith and assurance that we were going to have things calm down, we would have needed the promise of peace. We would have had to have somebody say, there is going to be peace, and actually it would have depended on who made that promise, whether or not we would have had assurance. We had the hope, but we didn't have the assurance. We received a promise when we were there that it came from the U.S. Embassy. And the U.S. Embassy told us that if we get to a certain place at a certain time, within 2 days, we'll be taken out to safety. Now, we were assured that that would actually happen, and we acted on it. That's when our hope turned into faith. It was assured. And it was something that we acted on, and it actually came to pass, and we went to safety. We had not seen it yet, but we relied on the person that shared that with us, and we acted on it, and we were saved. You know, but it's more than just thinking about it. It's more than just thinking through the reasonable options and saying, I think this is trustworthy. It's deeper than that. Faith is bigger than hope. Faith is bigger than reason. And I saw a story that I wanted to share with you. It comes from another preacher of many, many years ago, a guy named Spurgeon. And Spurgeon had a great story that shared the difference between faith and reason. And the way it works is that reason actually causes a lot of excess baggage for our faith. And it goes like this. Let's personify reason and faith. So if we personify reason and faith, and that they often would travel together, faith is very fit. Faith is very able. Faith is able to go like 30 and 40 miles in a day with no problem. Reason is a little different. Reason is more underdeveloped. Reason can only go to 3 to 4 miles a day. And then reason also will complain and question and doubt every step along the way. Well, reason came to faith and said, let's go on a journey together. And faith said, no, we can't, because we don't have the same purpose. It won't work. Reason persisted, and so they started their journey together. And as they went on their journey together, they came to a big, huge river. And even up till that point, faith had set the pace, and, you know, reason was kind of lagging behind, was tired, was complaining, it gave thought to every step that was being made. And when they got to the river, reason said, there is no way possible that we're going to be able to cross this river. It's too big. We're not able to ford this thing. Let's wait and let's build a bridge. Well, what faith did was faith just went down into the water singing a song of praise, and the water proved to be absolutely no obstacle at all. And then as they're journeying on, faith and reason get to a big, huge, high mountain. And reason looks at the mountain and says, there's absolutely no way. This mountain is too great for us to climb. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. Let's sit down and let's think about it, and let's give some thought about what we should do next. Now, faith looks at reason and sees that although reason creates delays and causes questions about everything, faith sees that reason has a purpose and it is necessary. And so with that in mind, faith picks up reason and carries him across the mountain. The baggage and the doubts and the thoughts that our reason brings to us and brings to faith. And God asks us to put his promises first and to trust him. You think about Abraham. Abraham was in a position where, I don't know if you've dealt with things, but have you ever been in a situation where it just becomes absolutely impossible? You know, you hoped it would work out in a certain way. It didn't. And, you know, there was somebody in our congregation, you might know them, Marsha Messman. And they said, I can share this. Actually, they asked me to. Is that Marcia goes to Saturday night service, and we've been praying for her. And she had emergency surgery. She had to go in, and when they did the surgery because of a blockage in her bowels, they opened her up, and they found out that she had very serious cancer. And so they removed 75% of her colon and stitched it back together. And, you know, you're not expecting anything like that. How are you going to deal with that? You know, I mean, this is just, you know, the worst. Cancer is like a dead-end word to us, right? We don't want to hear that. And so here you have this serious diagnosis, serious surgery. Everything was going well. Now it's not. And then you have to wait. Then you have to wait for a week. You remove lymph nodes. You remove other things. And you're just concerned. How is it going to go? What's going to happen? Well, they went back to the doctor on Tuesday and shared the report. And sat down. The doctor said, I got good and bad news for you. And they said, what do you want? Can you give us the bad news first? They said, yes, it was cancer. Yes, we removed it, but we have actually probably the best diagnosis that could ever happen to a person in your situation. There's no more cancer. We got it all. We can't find any. It hasn't spread. Hasn't gone anywhere. We might give you some chemotherapy, but we don't even think that might be necessary, but we'll do it just because it's probably a good thing to do. You know, it's just amazing, but if I was going to consult with God, I would much rather do it differently. I never want to be in a situation where I am out of control, where I don't know how things are going to go. But God puts us in situations like that. Abraham was in a situation where there was no way they were going to have a baby. Sarah is beyond menopause, not possible. Abraham, it says in the text that he was as good as dead. He was 99 years old. And it was just not going to happen. God puts us in situations where the difficulties become impossible to us so that we can trust Him because He is faithful. And He gives us His promises. This is what it means to be people of faith. Faith is a response to God's promises. That's what it is. That's what Noah did. He heard the word of God. God spoke that word to him. And he said, I'm going to trust that word. And he started building an ark. And Abraham, if you think about Abraham again, Abraham was asked to go to a completely different land, to leave his family, just to go blindly trusting God. And, you know, he did it interestingly, and there's a subtle point in this. He did not move and then ask God to bless him when he got to the land. He heard the word of God, and this really spoke to me. He heard the word of God, and then he followed that word. And I had to ask myself, I had to think to myself, do I hear the word of God? Am I listening to the word of God? God has spoken so many things to me, so many things to you. His word is very clear. He loves His word. And He wants us to follow it. He wants us to be in situations where we feel that I cannot be like that. I cannot do that. But Lord, You empower me. You know, like I said, sometimes preachers and teachers, and you might see Bible studies that make faith really, really complex and difficult to understand. But I just want to leave you with a practical thought, a practical understanding of faith, because it's hugely important for us. This is the walk that God has called us to in this life. You know, let's say you're going to work, let's say Monday, we'll use that as an example. And you're going to work, or if you're not going to work, you're going out and you're taking care of some errands and doing some things, and you're really tired. And, you know, you're fatigued, and you're stressed out, and maybe things didn't go the way that you wanted them to go, right? And you come back, and either you're sitting in your car in the driveway, or you're ready to go inside the door, and you're thinking to yourself, I just kind of want to go in that door. I don't want to talk to my spouse. I really kind of don't want to deal with my kids right now. I just kind of want to go in there and say, don't bug me. You know, here's what I would encourage you to do. Is before you open that door and before you get out of the car, stop and tell God, I'm tired. I don't have the strength. I don't want to do this. But let me act and let me go in there believing that You are with me. I will go in there and I will treat my spouse as she should be treated. I will do the possible, and I will ask God to do the impossible. I will walk in faith, and I will approach it from that point of view, knowing that my God is with me, and my God will show up. God works in an interesting way. You see, like I was saying earlier, if I could consult God, I wouldn't do it like this. I would want all the strength and all the confidence and all the power ahead of time, but God does it the opposite way. When we have faith, His power shows up. When we walk His way, His strength comes into our lives. He does it the exact opposite the way the world would do it. And He does it to equalize it. We're all saved by faith. We're all saved by His grace. And He loves to help us. And He calls us to follow Him in this way. There's a Bible verse that I put in the outline. And it's from Isaiah. It says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles." Here's my paraphrase of that. Those who have faith in God will find ability that they would not have otherwise. And I pray that He would speak that into my life. I want Him to. Because it will empower me and enable me to be His instrument through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that God would just bless you in that and guide you in that. You know, and I know none of us, I don't get this right. We fail commonly in this all the time. But it's not a matter of your perfection. It's a matter of your faith and trusting in God, hearing His word, letting His word become alive in your life, and walking that walk of faith. It's a wonderful thing. May God bless us and strengthen us and keep us in that as we are His people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.